One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here, and you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I've been getting a lot of questions about when is the way back going to be on Patreon, and I'm excited to announce it is finally here. Plus, bonus content. Right now, for just $5, you get the Honeydew a day early, you get it ad-free, and you get a full bonus episode of the Honeydew with Y'all where listeners highlight their lowlights, and it's going to stay that way. $5. And for just $3 more, you're also going to get the way back a day early and ad-free. But that's not all. You'll get exclusive bonus content with the guests, some fun segments, maybe some games, and we'd love to get you guys involved. And that's all for only $3 more. And there's no censorship on any of the Patreon episodes. Subscribe now. Tampa, Florida. I can't wait to come back to Side Splitters. I'll be there Saturday, December 7th, one night only. Tempe, Arizona. I'll see y'all December 20th and 21st at the Tempe Improv. Get your tickets now on my website at ryansickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pan Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. And I'm starting this episode like I start them all by saying thank you. Thank you for not only supporting this show, thank you for supporting anything that I do. I genuinely appreciate it. I love my life because of you. I love doing this job. So thank you for that. And if you got to have more, you got to check out the Patreon. I'm telling you. It is this show. It's the Honeydew with Y'all, and it's $5. It's been $5 since day one, and I will not raise it. It's your show, and y'all got the craziest stories. I promise you, at this point, you got hundreds of episodes to go listen to for $5, all right? And you're getting the Honeydew a day early. You're getting it ad-free, no censorship, nothing, all right? So go check that out, and come see me on tour if I am in your town. When you're around, tickets are on my website at ryansickler.com. All right, that's the biz. You guys know what we do here. We highlight the lowlights, and I always say that these are the stories behind the storytellers, and I am very excited to have this guest back on the Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, Frankie Quinones, welcome hey. Back to the Honeydew. Dude, thank you for being here again.
Good to be back, man.
Before we get into your story, please promote everything you'd like.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. No. Find me at Frankie Quinones or Cholo Fit Creeper on TikTok or Instagram. You can watch This Fool on Hulu. There's 20 episodes, two seasons of that on there. Me and my best friend, one of my best friends, Chris Estrada, and Michael Imperioli, who you know from The Sopranos, are the main characters in that. We've got a lot of awards, a lot of good writers, so please watch that show. I'm in the first episode of The Walking Dead spinoff, The Ones Who Live, and I'm in the last three seasons of What We Do in the Shadows on FX. The very last season is about to premiere this fall, and I got to be in a harness with a bat and fight some vampires. So yeah,
fly around a little bit.
Yeah,
you
but
did?
Yeah, I did. But for tour dates, yeah, FrankieQuinones.com. And come check me out.
Well, dude, I want to first of all thank you not only for being back, but your last episode. I'm telling you, you've got to go watch Frankie's first episode. And also, there's going to be a few people to go, how come you didn't ask him about advice you give to a 16-year-old self? And it's because I only do it the first time you're here. So that's why. You don't get it again the second time.
Right.
So there's the answer to that question. But your episode was a really heavy episode. And it was also, I mean, you're obviously completely vulnerable. I didn't know that till today. You said you'd never talked about any of that stuff publicly or openly on any sort of platform.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, it was something that, especially.
You mind just recapping without in my community details that
you're
what happened?
Yeah, yeah. You're taught to suppress. And, you know, I was like, yeah. used as a child. And
by a family member.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. By one of my older cousins. And, you know, not even my parents or anybody talked about it. It's like something you're just taught to just sweep it under the rug, hold it in, just basically pretend it didn't happen, you know, but you feel like a crazy person because you're like, you know, they stopped it from happening when I was like around 6 or 7, but, you know, you're still going to the family barbecues with that person there. Your family is bringing you there. So you're just like, oh, okay, I guess you just, you know, pretend that it's all good. And well, in the meantime, in your head, you're like, am I crazy? Like, or I guess it's just as normal, you know, you just do that. Mm-hmm. As I got older, you know, it did work to, you know, I was a little angry for a while. You know, sometimes I'll get like in fights, I have that like Napoleon complex, but I'll get my ass beat every time anyway. So it was just like, but then, you know, I found like alcohol and drugs and shit. And I was like, oh, you know what? It's positive vibes. I mean, it's all good, you know, and that was my way of dealing with it. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why I got funny is because I needed some validation from people, because the way I felt about myself was like, fuck, I'm just like this piece of meat, or I'm basically worthless, you know, like that's how you feel when nobody speaks up for you at that young, such a young age.
And this was a male figure too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I say that male because cousin, yeah. A while back we had Maranzio Vance on, and he was also molested, and he's talked about how it's also swept under the rug in the Black community.
Oh, yeah.
For men especially. And
for sure. Yeah.
But this was by a female cousin.
Okay.
So yeah. I say that because it's, you know, they always say it's most of the time it's someone you know or someone you're close with that does this to someone.
Yeah, yeah.
So then you texted me and said a lot of things sort of popped off after that.
Oh my episode. God, homie.
I mean, listen, I talk about what you're comfortable talking about.
Yeah,
please.
No. Obviously it's a really deep thing, but you know, you got me to open up and it felt good to be honest, you know, and you know, 3 days after I recorded that with you, I flew to Utah to a trauma processing center.
You did?
And I went in, homie. And there was this dude I met. Man, I'm gonna send this to him. His name was Darren. And he's blind. Can't see anything. He has implants on the side of his head so he could hear. Mm-hmm. So he could barely hear. He's blind. And he goes in the room. He brings me in a room. It's because the first 5 days I was there, this place is expensive, homie. I mean, it's like, you
know. Now, is he a counselor or is he another patient?
He's a counselor.
Okay.
Yeah. So this place is like, it's in Utah. You know, it's this, you know, rich, white, Mormon money, homie.
Boy, real quick. Why'd you pick this place? What made you choose it?
Because it was one of the top in the country.
Okay.
And I said, I'm trying to get through this.
What are we with top in the country for what?
For
just trauma in general? Is it sexual?
Addiction. Any kind of addiction. Also, but mostly trauma processing, okay. You know what I'm saying? So, and it's one of the top in the country. So I said, you know what? I'm going to drop this bread. I'm going to do this and basically invest in myself. Because if I can get through this, then I'll be able to get this money and take this career as far
good
as I can
go.
Good
for you, dude.
And so, but honestly, man, the first 4 or 5 days I was there, I was kind of like, man, what a waste of money. I could have just got an Airbnb in Joshua Tree and locked myself in a room for a week.
Got some shrooms.
Yeah, ate some shrooms and meditated like, hey, homie.
Well, wait, tell me about the blind, almost deaf.
But then I had this session with this dude. It was my first session. I was already there in about 4 or 5 days. And he's blind as hell. And, you know, and he's, you know, you kind of have to help guide him to his office. You go in there and he goes, all right, the couch is right there. And he sits down. He's like, are you ready to do some trauma work? And I'm like, all right, yeah. And he dims the lights, you know, and we start doing breathing. And he goes, okay, let's go back to an incident, you know, like when your cousin's doing this to you. And, you know, tell me what's happening. Tell me how you feel. Like, I don't know. I'm scared on me. I'm frozen. I'm confused. You know, all this stuff.
And also, like, real quick, at the time, you're what, 4 or 5? You're looking little,
yeah,
aren't you?
I'm about five or six years old, yeah.
It's not, so, you know, you can't even defend yourself. You're yeah, not you're, a
just,
high
you're just, you don't know, homie, yeah, what's happening, right. You know? You're just like, so you just do it, you know? I don't know, you know? But you still feel, even now being in my 40s, I still feel the guilt and shame and of doing that. So that's why I do this therapy, to try to get that to disconnect, like, yo, man, you weren't responsible, you know, it wasn't your fault.
That's right.
And so, anyways, it's my boy, this blind Yoda, homie, dog. He does the
blind breathe. Yoda. No,
his name is Aaron. I nicknamed him Blind Yoda, and that's he embraced great. It. You that's know what I'm great. Saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then one of the props guys from our show is making me a little Yoda with a walking, like with a white stick with a red tip and some shades. He's gonna put in his office. But yeah, we did the breathing, right? And we go back in time. And man, you know, and then you start crying, you're sobbing, there's fucking snot and tears coming out of me. And he goes, all right, is it okay that you introduce me to him, you know, to younger Frankie? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, okay, hey, Frankie, this is Darren. He's like, you want to hold his hand? You want to grab his hand? I'm like, yeah, yeah. And I grab his hand. Like, you're there, homie. It's a trip. He's like, all right, tell your cousin he has to leave. I'm like, you got to fucking bounce, homie. So he leaves, you know, and he's like, all right, you want to hug him and tell him it's okay. You know, you tell him, hey, it's not your fault. Come on. He's like, what's your favorite place to play? I'm like, there used to be this little dirt pile on the side of our house. And I would, you know, I would do my little Hot Wheels and dig little tunnels there. Mm-hmm. But I remember being like at peace because I was by myself. And I just see the trees and just dirt. And then my mom and dad weren't there. Nobody was there because I would have resentment towards my even though my mom and dad are my heroes, homie, straight up. But there was that level of resentment because I'm like, damn, you guys didn't do nothing about it, homie. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's the only way they knew how to handle it. So when I would be by myself, I'd be at peace and I'd be like there. And he goes, okay, let's take him there. And I walked with little Frankie to that pile of dirt. I'm there playing with him. And he's like, all right, now tell him goodbye and tell him he's going to be okay now. And I hug him, homie. And I'm like, I got you now, homie. You know, you don't got to worry about nothing anymore. It wasn't your fault. That fool, you know, did that fucked up shit. But I got you now. You know what I'm saying? And other people got you. And then so,
man,
now I still do these sessions where, you know, I bring other people in now. And, you know, my sister will come in and take little Frankie.
How long were you there?
30 days.
Oh, wow. Okay. You're there for a full 30 days.
Oh, yeah, homie. Yeah. Well, you know, I was partying too, you know, but it was.
And
that
then when you come back to LA, what happens?
Yeah. When I come back to LA, I mean, I had a lot of work to catch up on, man. It was right to work. But then.
Do you confront anyone? Do you reach out to anyone?
Well, doing this podcast is what a lot of my family, that's how they found out, homie. You know what I'm saying? They watched the podcast. I told you, my mom's sister called her crying. She's like, oh my God, like Frankie's so courageous. He said that and fucking, oh, I can't believe it. And, you know, I can't believe, you know, people didn't help us. And, you know, because of what my grandfather did to her. And it was just like,
I love hearing that there's support there. Like, and you've just unearthed so much of the trauma you're dealing with for someone else. You unlocked
that. But it ain't even that. It's so common, homie, that it's. And they it's all unbelievable. Yeah. It's mind blowing. But these motherfucking weirdos, they keep getting away with it because of that, because we're taught to just sweep it under the rug. Black and brown communities have always done that. Like, hey, nah, come on, that didn't happen. Or their own mothers or their own grandmothers would be like, nah, come on, you're lying. Like, you know, and you're just forced to deal with it internally yourself. And it's eventually going to come and get you, homie. And that my success is what forced me to deal with it.
How about that?
Because I thought if I checked these boxes, it would take away these demons, these things that were eating at me every day. You know what I'm saying? Because there hasn't been a day that hasn't gone by that I haven't thought about what happened to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it eats at you, homie. You look in the mirror every day like you're a fucking, you know, cocksucker piece of shit. You know, that's how you talk. That's how I would talk to myself. But I would go make people laugh, go through my day, walk by a stranger. What's up, homie? You know, and that would get me through. You know what I mean?
Because I got something. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Making other people feel good got me through.
I have a worth, you know? Because I make people feel good. Yeah. Even if I feel like shit.
Exactly, homie. Yes. And so that's how I, you know, comedy was my lane, but because I just had so much pain in me every day that I needed to make people laugh, homie.
So,
but then the But the homie, the amount of messages I got after I did this first Honeydew was overwhelming, dog. I couldn't even get to all of them. I'm telling you, Ryan.
Wow.
Like, I was even like, damn, this month, much listeners.
That makes me feel awkward. Yeah. Yeah. Not only that, think of that though. Like, that's very flattering for you to say, but also how many of those people have gone through what you've gone through too?
That's what all the messages were.
That's what I'm saying.
And one stood out to me.
And that upsets me because you're saying, man, this motherfucker's got a lot of listeners, but all those listeners have gone through the same thing.
Homie.
God.
There's one that stands out to me.
Yeah, tell me.
He's big, homie. He's got like no neck. He's tatted on the neck. He looked like a truck driver or something. And, you know, I looked at his profile, but he DM'd me and he goes, hey, homie, he goes, fuck, he's all, fuck, you know, much respect for talking about that. He's like, you know, I never told anybody, but the same shit happened to me, you know, and I'm the only person he ever told in my DM in his whole life, homie. You know what I'm saying?
I
responded to him. I say, hey, homie, you know, God bless you. Know that I love you. I got your back. And I'm, you know, I'm grateful that God gave me the courage to speak up about this shit. Because, you know, you're fucking, why would you talk about it? People are going to think you're gay or fucking da da da. And it's like, you know, that's how it is in our community. But I'm like, nah, fuck that, homie. Something needs to be said. And he was like, he gave me props. And this fool looked like a fuck, like you know, like a bouncer. And I said, homie, go talk to somebody, please. You know, I said, if you need my help, I'll pay for your therapy session. You know what I'm
saying? Damn. That's awesome.
And then he's like, all right, Carnal, yeah, like, you know, I'm going to do it. And he was like surprised that I responded, though. He's like, whoa, you responded. He goes, hey, thank you. But I got so many messages. I mean, some of them are very long and just, you know, they're telling me their whole story. And it's like, you know, we got to.
And I bet you it's the first time, like you said, a lot of them are ever even putting this down in writing or telling anyone outside their fucking inner fucking thoughts.
For sure. I'm telling you, it created waves, homie.
Wow.
And then it made people think about what happened to them. And then it's like, hey, because, you know, there's resources.
Great fans. This is like when your kids go, I say it all the time, when your kids go to a sleepover.
Yeah, yeah.
And they come back and the parents are like, they were so well behaved and so nice. Y'all the shit.
Yeah.
Thank you for supporting Frankie.
Yeah.
And he's right. Go talk to somebody.
Yeah, yeah. Go talk. There's a lot of free resources out there too to get some therapy.
So coming out of the rehab and stuff, what mindset did you have when you came back home outside of the work? I know, because that can also keep us occupied and we don't even have to think about this.
Yeah, yeah. And that was a...
I'm the same way. Walk it off.
That was a dangerous thing for me, which my sister pointed out to me. You know, she goes, because I would, you know, like I said, I thought, you know, chasing this dream. And I was 35. I was 10 years in. I started when I was 25. I was already 10 years in the game. And I'm 35 already. And I'm sleeping on my homie's couch. He's charging me $200 a month. I'm chasing this dream, though. But I didn't get nobody pregnant. I just had to worry about myself. But, you know, my family's worried about me. I'm like, hey, I'm a comedian. They're like, hey, get a job, you know. And, but I'm like, but eventually when I was, you know, 36, it popped out for me. And then, you know, Cholo Fit went viral. Then me and the Dress Up Gang sold the show to TBS. It all happened within the same year. And then, you know, I told you this story. I was delivering a sandwich on DoorDash or whatever. And that was my last delivery because I got the call while I was delivering that we had sold a show.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I delivered that sandwich and go in the car and I'm crying. I called my mom. I said, we fucking did it, homie. You know what I mean? Because my mom's like my homie. She had me at a young age. And she's like, she's real hood, you know, even though she knows how to put on her face. Like, I always make fun of her because she should work at a chiropractor office as a secretary, like in the hood, though, you know. And then she'd be like, she would always stash me under the desk, like, if she, you know, to so how she got off work, so in between school or whatever. And she'd be like telling me, you know, like yelling at me on the table, hey, cabrón, cállate, porque no, 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 won't you shut up, quit acting dumb, here's a Capri Sun. And then the doctor would walk in, she'd be like, hi, doctor, you know, da da da, like doing that whole thing. So she did a good job of that. But, you know, she, me and my sister carry a lot of her pain. Like, you know, she went through a lot. And I learned that through getting educated on this stuff when I went to get treatment at these places, you know.
Have you had a sit down with your mom about all this since?
Oh, yeah.
Since? How did that go?
It was heavy. You know, they came out, you know, to this place in Utah.
With this thing, they came to see you.
We did this thing called the Ring of Fire. You know, you sit knee to knee facing each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just go through it. And there's a room full of other families going through the same stuff. Homie, oof, it's one of the hardest things I've ever done. I would never have expected my mom and dad to be doing some shit like that. But they stepped up for me, homie.
Good.
And they apologized to me for the first time last year. And it all started because, you know, when I spoke up on this honeydew thing and it created all these waves. And now that line of communication is just open with my mom and dad, which I would never have expected, homie. You know what I'm saying? Like, my dad's fucking, you know, just, you know, he just holds everything in.
I
mean,
yeah,
you know?
We were, Kirsten and I were talking about, I think you said he used to get you up like 5 a.m. because you were like, you want to fucking be that?
Yeah.
And you're going to get up and do it right.
Oh, yeah, when I wanted to go to be a cholo, yeah. He's like, yep.
He's get like, up all right, the iron.
You
want to
wear dickies on me? You're going to crease those motherfuckers at 5 a.m. before I leave to work. Yeah.
Okay, so you got a hardcore dad breaking down and supporting his son.
He's, as he got older, he softened up. He's so cool, man.
That's what should happen.
Creeper's based off him. You know, he's so positive.
That's what should happen.
You know, my dad's, you know, positive as hey. You know, he was a little rougher around the edges when I was younger. But, you know, as he got older.
Have you talked to your mom's sister who came forward about...
I did. You know what? I do want to have a deeper talk with my tia Linda. She's definitely going to watch this probably...
What's up to you, Linda?
Yeah. But I do want to have a deeper talk with her about it. But I'm also proud of my mom because she started going to therapy too, you know?
Damn.
All from
the honeydew.
Yeah, all from the honeydew, homie.
Proud of this damn show. I'm proud of what I'm doing. Yeah.
So I told her, I said, Mom, you know, I'm grateful that you did that because you learn, you get educated in these things where if you hold this heavy trauma in and you're having kids, it goes through the DNA and it carries in and it could create, trauma could create knots in areas of your body that could eventually manufacture into a disease, homie.
Cancer.
So, you know, yeah, it's like,
or whatever.
You got to get it out, bro, or else.
And I'm asking a personal question you do not need to answer, but has your mom discovered that things like this have gone on in her family as well? Is this something that's been going on? Always been swept under the rug, or was this more?
Yeah, you know, it happened in her own home growing up, you know, and she was the oldest of all her siblings, you know, and she had a lot of siblings. And, you know, they started off in the projects, you know, and she's, you know, her military dad, he's from an Indian reservation. So he grew up, you know, be getting his ass beat by his stepdad on an Indian reservation. So he couldn't wait to get out of there. He lied on his military application and said he was 18 when he was really still 16 or 17. But, you know, he spread that trauma to his own daughters and did what he did. And, you know, and people are like, oh, you know, you shouldn't say that about it. I don't give a fuck on me. I'm saying this because otherwise that's why it's going to keep happening. I hope that these fucking weirdos or whatever get the message that, like, hey, homie.
Yeah.
Like, people are going to start speaking up now.
That's right. You know? Your secret is not a secret anymore.
Yeah, it ain't no secret. Like, oh, that I weird, tell my daughter that weird that uncle, shit all like, just the keep time. Your distance from him. Like, fuck that weird uncle. Nope. Get him the fuck out of there,
we're
homie.
We're going to call him out, you know, at Christmas in front of everybody.
Exactly, homie.
Yeah. Hey, Uncle Larry, stop fucking trying to touch my kids.
Yeah. Quit trying to get my daughter sitting in your lap, you little weirdo. Yeah.
Fuck that. Yeah, I agree, man. Put them on blast.
Yeah. But it's, I mean, it's heavy, man, but it's.
Have you talked to the cousin, your cousin who did this?
You know what? None of this would have ever happened if he would have responded to me when I gave him his chances, homie, just because he's my family. He's my first cousin, homie. We grew up like brothers.
This is who?
You know?
Dad's brother, mom's?
It's my dad's sister's sons, right? It. There's three of them, though. Okay.
Okay.
And we grew up, you know, we would go fishing, we'd go to, you know, my dad would, you know, help take care of him. And he was,
so
you know, so he was
the
oldest.
So you gave him an opportunity to.
Yeah. So this is like, what, maybe 10 years ago, I texted him, right? I go, hey, primo, you know what we need to talk about? They hit me back, ghosted me, right? And then I see him at my grandpa's house, another barbecue. This is like, I go, hey, I'll take you to lunch, my treat. You know what we need to talk about? Like, let's take care of this, homie, you know? And then he looked at me like sideways, like yeah, okay, yeah. And then ghosted me again. So I gave him his chances, homie, twice to just squash this shit, to talk it out, just because we're family. Like, I wanted an apology, homie. You know, I wanted him to be, fuck, I'm sorry, man, and da-da-da. But he never apologized to me, you know? He apologized to my dad, never me, you know? And then he tried to deny it at first, and he admitted it. Then he not tried to say we're lying.
So wait, but, you know, he admitted it after the podcast came out? Like, he had to fess up to the family?
Yeah, well, yeah. That's when he was denying it at first, and then he admitted it. Yeah. He admitted it to his parents. He admitted it to his parents, to his wife.
He did.
Yeah. Not to me.
Not to you, though.
Nah. I gave him his
opportunity. But to your dad? Or did he just apologize?
Yeah, because my dad went to his work and was like, hey, homie, like, stay away from, you know, you can't come to the pad no more or none of that. And I guess he broke down and cried and apologized to my dad, but never apologized to me. And it's crazy because I found out in the treatment that they said, like, 95% of the time, predators will not apologize to their victims for whatever reason. It's fucking crazy, homie.
So you said he admitted it to some family members. Then you said he now denied it?
Yeah, but then, yeah, so, okay, so he admitted it.
So deny all along.
And then I guess him and another whatever. So one of his family members was trying to tell people we're because another victim came out, my other cousin.
I was going
to
ask.
After this came out.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, and it's another.
I'm sure there are more that are probably scared.
It's another first cousin, homie, who.
It is.
And I can't believe that, you know, I was pissed that it happened to him too, but I'm also grateful that he spoke up because he's a real machi. He works for LA Water and Power. I don't want to say his name because, you know, it's a job.
Yeah, no.
But you know what I'm saying? He's a,
imagine he's at your
he's
house.
A tough ass fool. You know what I'm saying? Like, he knocks fools out. You know what I mean? Like,
this other family member that's supporting him, did this guy also do the same shit to people? Is that why he's got this guy's back? You know what I'm asking?
Wait, say that again.
You said there was another one of their family members started saying it was a lie as well, like supporting him.
Yeah.
Is that guy guilty of the same thing?
Not that I know of. Okay. But all I know is, you know, the experts that I met when I was able to, you know, because I was grateful. Now I have insurance, obviously, through, you know, SAG and Writers Guild and all that. But, you know, I got so much education on it. And they were like, you know, the average, you know, like, predator has about 12 to 24 victims.
Oh,
that's like the average, homie. And me and my other first cousin are definitely not his only victims. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's when I was like, all right, I'm going to say something now.
Have you talked to the other first cousin?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
How did
it was triggering.
Go?
He called me, you know.
Who's older?
Him.
He is?
Yeah. And then the other one's older, older than both of us.
Did it happen to both of them?
Yeah.
It did. And so this happened to them before you then?
Yeah, so he called my mom shaking. He goes, "Tia, I'm shaking right now. I never told anybody, but that shit happened to me too. And I wish I would have said something because I could have saved Frankie, you know?"
Oh,
and so
he's carrying that.
But, you know, now even he goes to therapy, homie. It's like, you know what I mean?
I don't mean to laugh the whole family.
I know. He's like, "Hey, homie, it's time to go to therapy." Hey.
He did an episode of the Honey Dude, the whole goddamn family.
Frankie's on this podcast putting us on blast, so we need to go to therapy now, homie.
Oh shit. So go ahead, sorry.
Yeah. So that cousin, he had my back, man, and I didn't know how even his whole family, because I got no problem with Tio and Tia. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
They're the parents of this cousin.
Yeah, obviously they felt bad. They apologized to my dad and da da da. And I still got love for them. They were always cool to me. You know what I'm saying? And obviously something happened to him for me to do this, for him to do it to me. But his youngest brother is one of my closest cousins, right? And I didn't know how he was going to take it, but he took my side. You know, he hasn't talked to his brother since last October.
Okay.
And, you know, he's checking on me all the time because, you know, he the things he had to go through to find out that that's the person his brother was.
But
you know?
Did it happen to him as well?
No. He said, he says it didn't, but, I don't know, man. You know, people are going
to. But you're right. It happened to him, too, the abuser. So who's doing that? And is it someone else in the family that's holding that shit, too? You know?
It could be, homie. I mean, he would same cousin that would listen to me, too, would do other fucked up shit to me. Like, he would get a weed whacker and have me in the corner of the garage, like, to my face. And I'd be like, oh, crying. And then he'd be like, all right, yeah, and I'm going to go fuck you. And like. It's like, that's wild. Yeah.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. The holidays are coming up. Look, I'm going to tell you straight up. My favorite thing at the holidays is to put all the Christmas lights on at night, turn all the regular lights off, and then sit there and chill and watch movies. I don't know how you stay cozy during the winter months, but that's what I like to do. And for some, wrapping up in a blanket with a mug of hot chocolate or watching a movie with family is the best way to spend the month of December. Therapy is also a great way to bring yourself some comfort that never goes away, even when the season changes. You know, we're big believers in therapy here. We talk about it all the time. Frankie and his family are now doing it. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. Find comfort this December with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/honeydew today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/honeydew. This show is sponsored by Liquid IV. Whether you forget to take a sip of water during the office holiday party or you start feeling parched after a long day of traveling, keep Liquid IV on hand to stay hydrated through the holidays. With convenient packets of their hydration multiplier, you get 8 vitamins and nutrients, 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, and no artificial sweeteners. We love Liquid IV over here. You know we take it with us everywhere. And now that we're getting into flu season, I love breaking out that tangerine with the immune support, y'all. Find all your favorite hydration multiplier flavors on their website, from acai berry and lemon lime to pina colada. They even have great tasting sugar-free options. Tear Pore Live More, 1 stick plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Stay hydrated through the holidays with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code HONEYDEW at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code HONEYDEW at liquidiv.com. Now, let's get back to the dew.
Oh, but you know, man. What? But like, honestly, like, I've had so much to be grateful for. Cause you know, my mom and dad are still married, man. And
you have a good close family.
Yeah, they came from supportive. They came from nothing, homie, the bottoms, you know, and they worked their asses off. And we started out a one bedroom apartment in the valley, and then they worked their way up. You know what I'm saying? And then I witnessed that. I was honored to witness that, you know, and their religion was like old school funk. And like, you know, they would play rancheras and all that too, but like diehard funk fans. Like my sister's name is Tina Marie.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Like they, homie,
they went to Rick James's funeral. They're like, yeah, yeah. And that's how they dealt with the shit, you know?
Just as fans, not because they knew him or anything. Yeah.
Just as fans, homie. So like, you know what I mean? That whole like,
wait,
hey,
who are you named after that?
How they got it.
Who's the Frankie after?
Oh, well, you know, they say Frankie Beverly, but it was, okay. you know, Maze?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, but really I'm named after my grandpa. His name's Francisco, but he changed his name to Frank so he can get a job in America because he lived around that time. But my sister really is, named after Tina Marie. My mom was so mad because Tina Marie died shortly after Rick James and they didn't make like a big thing of it. So my mom was like writing letters to like the newscast, like to like Channel 5 News, you know, like, hey, like Tina Marie died. You guys are going to say nothing about it. You know,
that's
like,
wild.
But you know what I'm saying? So that part of it too is like, as I got older too, and I realized how much pain my mom was living with, I could see like, oh, that this is a remedy, you know, like music and comedy. You know, even when they were struggling, homie, we would get our water turned off, our lights turned off, but she had a boombox, homie, with double D batteries. And she would light a bunch of candles and she put on some old school jams, you know. And I remember she put on, you know, some Maze or some, you know, Cameo, Confunction, you know, some old Smokey Robinson or something. And me and my sister would just be dancing with her, you know, in the living room. And we're thinking like, oh, we're having a little like candle party. But looking back on it, like, damn, like for a parent to like what was going through her head.
And to make it fun and enjoyable. Like,
gosh, damn, homie. I mean, that takes a special heart right there.
It sure
does.
It sure does.
So it's like, you know, and you know, I've had a good life. So that's why I kept, it was another reason for me to suppress what happened to me. Cause I'm like, nah, man, come on. You gotta have to be grateful for it. You know, like, you know, cause we worked our way up, you know, and my mom and dad, we moved from a one bedroom apartment to a townhome to a cul-de-sac. Then I had rollerblades. I was like, hey, you know, like, you know. My mom would get jealous too of the life.
Listen, this is what I love about where I come from too. That's it. That's making it right there. Yeah. Rollerblades in a cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's amazing. People worried about Lamborghinis and shit. I'm man, let's just live at the back of a cul-de-sac.
And my mom was jealous of my rollerblades, homie. You know, because I go, oh, you're having fun, huh? Your little rollerblades, yeah. You know, I had like this one white friend that lived down the street. She go, oh, you got a white friend? Uh-huh. Yeah, cool. Enjoy that. You know, I'd be
enjoy
like, yeah, mom,
that.
Man, thank you. Like, you know, like you gave this to me. Like, you know, yeah. She'd be like, but yeah. But yeah, I think the most important thing, man, is like, you know, Ali Wong is producing and directing my first 1 hour special that's, you know, will be, you know, that will be out. We're going to record it next year and it'll be out. And, you know, I've been working on material where I open up about a lot of this stuff. And I asked her, you know, I go, man, is this like going to be too heavy for like a mainstream or da, da, da. And she goes, not only do I think that you should say those jokes and talk about that stuff, I think it's important that you do.
I agree.
And so
I think you're opening up something that needs to be opened and talked about, especially on the male side of things. But
yeah,
so many people can relate to this, obviously male and female, but especially male and men just suppressing all this. And like I say, walking it off and just moving on.
I mean, most of them will die just holding it in.
Oh, they'll never want to admit it.
But if they can get to a spot and get enough courage to go talk about it or go get even therapy or just, you know, tell their family or whatever the step is to get it out, they could have such a better life, you know, and they don't have to die that way. You know what I'm saying? Which is crazy. Homie, some heavy shit.
Tell me that. Like
I would have died that way if I didn't have success, you know? So it's like,
how do you do you really believe that? You don't think you ever would have talked about this if success didn't come your way?
I don't think so. I mean, eventually, you know, I you don't have to be successful to deal with it.
Agreed.
Obviously, that's not the reason. But in my head,
for
I was
you,
like,
just you.
If I check these boxes, if I become a headliner, imagine if I was able to buy a house, imagine if I was on a TV show, and I checked all those boxes, you know, I was in the home that I bought doing comedy, the thing that I love, you know, I would finish a project and I would be home, you know, having to be with myself, you know, especially during the pandemic. And I was the most miserable I'd ever been, homie. Mm-hmm. And I had...
And you had checked all your boxes.
I had everything I wanted.
It didn't solve one thing.
Hell no,
it actually made it worse.
Yeah. It was an illusion in my head, you know?
So coming out of the therapy, then, how have things changed with your mindset about all of it?
Oh, man. It changed my life. Like, first of all, just working up the courage to open up about it, that changed my life. And then going to get that treatment with the Blind Yoda, man. That fool changed my life. He rocked my world, dog. And then I'd be all like crying. And then he'd dim the lights up when we were done. And then he would feel for he had a little M&M homie with the hand. And he's blind though, so he would feel for it, and he would feel the little hand, and he would click it, and two little M&Ms would come out, and then he would give them to me, and I'd be like, oh, okay, like, and I'm all like crying and shit. But yeah, that changed my life, and I've been doing work ever since. Now I'm doing like EMDR in Pasadena.
Yeah,
and, I'm doing all the things.
That's what
homie,
changed me.
You know?
I preach EMDR on this podcast, Dr. Drew.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I didn't know about it either. I had, long story short, my daughter had almost got hit by a car. And man, it unearthed. Like, I had no idea all the anxiety and issues I had. They had been laying in a hammock, just chilling for 35 motherfucking years.
Oh,
they were
like,
oh, it's our time now. And I became scared to fly, heights. I couldn't go up escalators. I came unhinged, and I had to go to EMDR, and he had told me about it. He's like, it's not talk therapy. It's very different.
Oh, yeah.
I said, no, I've never done it. I went to this lady, dude. And he said, there is a beginning and there's an end to this.
Right.
And some people get there quicker. She would tell me, man, I sleep on flights now. I live on the top floor of my building. You know what I mean? Like, the shit worked. But you got to understand what is driving that. And it's all trauma, and it would be go back to that time where this is happening. And then they will talk to you about it, and you're either clicking the things in your hands or whatever, moving your eyes. And and at the end, she would say, okay, these are the things you said, and here's what I heard a bunch. And you start to see this common thread that you don't even realize. And you're like, so think about this and this. And you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And then what happens next? And you're like, this and this and this and this. It's because that's our trauma response.
Yeah, yeah.
Is to just keep moving forward.
Yep.
Keep fucking going.
Just keep it moving, homie. Mm-hmm. Man, I got to be honest. Like, when I first went to the MDR and he pulled out the little lights, I kind of rolled my eyes. I was like, oh, this fool's going to give me a light show or what? Like, are we at the rave right now? Like, you know. But then, like, 5 minutes later, I'm like, oh, you know. Oh, I'm a good energy. Yeah, but the little hand, but... The little hand buzzers were for me, you know, and he was like, he was like, it's a gift to let the left and the right brain to talk to each other. He's like, your right side's holding your trauma. He's like, and your left side is the language. And you feel like you still feel the guilt and shame because you feel like it just happened yesterday, which is how I feel, that I was on my knees doing all that bullshit or whatever he was doing to me. But if you get the left side to talk to it, it explains to the trauma, like, yo, it wasn't your fault. And it was a long time ago. Like, you're good now. You're protected now, you know, and it's all that stuff. And so... It's interesting that they figured that out, homie. But like, yeah, I was numbing it all out with drugs, you know. And you know, cocaine was never really my thing. I would dabble in it here and there, you know. We're comedians, homie. It'd be at the comedy club. Hey, you want to bounce? Sure. It would never like get me during the pandemic when I was forced to like be with myself. I needed to numb it out. And so, yeah,
and that was your
I was
drug
going
of choice.
Crazy, homie. I was fucking walking around the paddock, a little gremlin, all sweaty. Just, should I do another line? I said, that's about a half an hour. So another half an hour, I could do it. You know, like. Hey, homie, I turned it to a lab rat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
God, it was terrible, homie. And and that was never even my drug of choice.
You were detoxing as well at this facility? Is you doing a double duty on trauma and the detox?
Like,
That's a lot.
I was already kind of cleaning up because I was with you like 3 days before I left over there. Mm-hmm. But I was already kind of cleaning it up.
Did you know you were going when we did the podcast?
Yeah, yeah.
You did, okay.
Yeah, I knew. I already knew I was going. Yeah, yeah. Okay. And my cousin, I had a show at the Comedy Store, and then I was opening for Ali Wong and the Long Beach, whatever that theater is down there.
Yeah, the convention.
And my cousin Ruben was with me. He had me like in a headlock, you know, to make sure I didn't go nowhere, homie. And then he took me to the airport in the morning, boom. And then they had a representative there pick me up in Utah, you know, and that was it, homie. And so, ever since then, I've been doing work on myself every day, you know. I've always prayed, but now I like pray a different way. Because now I've processed this stuff, you know, and I'm just like, I get on my knees every morning, you know, I thank God, you know, I'm grateful to be alive because, you know, I got close to death, man. And, you know, I wanted to die, you know, and it sounds weak and all that bullshit. And, you know, and I felt like, fuck, you know, this was a little bitch. He wants to talk about, oh, I was molested or he wants to die and da, da, da. But, you know, you never know what somebody's going through or how to deal with that. Like, I would fucking want to fight somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not the answer either, you know? And it's like, okay, you think I'm fucking weak? What's up then, homie? Let's go, you know? And then fucking, I'll probably get my ass kicked, but whatever, you know? And so I don't want to have that anger in me anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
then, anger is what kills you.
And
it
then,
does.
But those demons that come for you every day that you have to deal with every day, they got so strong, man. Especially after I thought I did all the things that were going to make me happy and they didn't. Obviously, I loved what I do. And I would never fuck around. I would never party while I was working. Like when we were doing this full, I was in that shit. And it was saving me, you know, it would keep me occupied. And I was able to stay in character because the days are so long, 12, 15 hour days. You go home, study your next lines for the next day for like an hour. Then you go to bed. Hopefully you sleep 4 or 5 hours and you're back on the set the next day. It just takes over your life, but you're able to dial in the character. And that was it. And then, but then you finish, you know, and then you have money and you have idle time. And so, yeah, man, I just started doing a bunch of drugs. And then I just, you know, and I kept thinking about the pain and, you know, and then the worthlessness you feel. Like, fuck, man, nobody gives a fuck. And you know, nobody spoke up for me. Nobody, like, why would this happen? You know, and it happened in my home, you know, or our home. You know, that's where I'm supposed to be safe, homie. That's right. Where everybody's supposed to be safe, in their home. You know, and instead I'm fucking, you know, my life got fucked up. My head got fucked up. But there's a silver lining, because I don't think I would be a successful comedian if I didn't have that pain in me, you know, because mm-hmm. that's how I dealt with the pain, was being funny. And, hey, what's up? Positive vibes. Because I was hurting so much inside, you know? And it's like, now I know that it'll always be a part of me, but I'm able to like kind of harness the pain and work with it and you know, just find that balance, you know, where it's not eating me. I'm able to bring in protection. I talk to the younger Frankie every day, like, hey, homie, because he did a lot of shit to me in the shower. So every day I get in the shower, I'll think about it. But now when I get in the shower, I'm like, hey, homie, he's not here no more. I got you. Like, we're just bathing. You know, we're going to start this day and we're going to kill this shit. And I look in the mirror and I say, you about to get it today, boy. Let's go. You know what I'm saying? And so that's been like a tremendous, tremendous help, homie. And it's just like, and now, you know, prayer, meditation, all those things, my relationship with God has just been my lifesaver, you know what I mean? And so when I'm able to help people, that's the number one thing. It's like, whether it's feeding homeless at Skid Row or just like helping younger people or working with charities or whatever I could do to help, is like the number one thing that kind of keeps me, you know, cool, you know, not away from the benders. But, you know, the darkest moment was, you know, when I had a show at the Laugh Factory and at the Comedy Store on the same night, right? And after I get out of the Comedy Store, I get a suite at the Andaz, you know, it's next door mm-hmm. to the Comedy Store, and I get a suite with the balcony, Torpedo. I'm like, yeah, we're partying. I'm like, it's time to celebrate. I had just finished doing season 2 of this full, The Walking Dead, and What We Do in the Shadows, and some shows in Austin. So I was like, I had been working for 5 months, and I'm like, I'm going to celebrate. But then it came for me, you know. I was partying I kept extending the stay for like 3 days. Then I'm getting all fucking twisted and paranoid at the end. I think motherfuckers are gonna come, like they're gonna rob me, that these fools are texting people. So I fucking kick them all out. You know, I was like nice about it though. I'm like, hey, you guys gotta jam in a little bit, okay? Cause like, hey. And then they end up leaving, and then I party for like a whole other day. Then I take
by yourself.
Yeah, and then I take like a few Xanax bars, watch Get You Down with a bottle of Crown Royal, my head's up against the headboard like
Jesus
this.
Jesus Christ.
Like this. And I'm like, I can't move, homie. I'm saying my goodbyes. And I'm starting apologizing to my sister. I thank God for my time on earth.
This is what you're doing out loud.
I'm saying this. Yeah, I'm sorry, you know, and thank you, God, for my time. Da, da, da. You know, I'm sorry, mom. Sorry, dad. You know, fucking saying, listening to all my homies, my cousins. Sorry, Esteban. You know, Esteban Orioles, he's helped me so much.
So many people.
I'm like, get them all out.
That shit kept you alive.
Get the roll. It's a long roll call. Homie.
If you'd have had a mom, dad, the dog, man. You'd be dead.
Shit, homie. But yeah, I know, right?
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.com. HappyLifeSI.org.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
But like, if the hotel security didn't wake me up, I don't think I'd be alive, homie.
Well, they did wake you up.
Yeah, they woke me up and they're like, hey, we call the paramedics. You gotta get up.
Were they trying
to get... No, because it was the checkout time and I guess the maids went in there and I'm fucking there fucking, you know, there's pedo all over. Pedo is like, you know, things like drugs and shit like around.
All over.
And so they called the fucking, and I'm like, you know, and I like got up and I thought I was still like, okay, I'm somewhere else. And I'm like, oh shit, I'm alive still. And that's when I finally got my sister. I got my sister on the phone. She goes, motherfucker, you promised me right now you're going to go get help. You know, and I said, okay, Mia, I promise you, you know? And I was just in that cloud, homie, of like, this is the path that God laid out for me. And now it's time for me to go, you know? I was convinced. And then now I got through it. My sister is like, you know, she saved my life, man. And she's like the heart of our family, you know? And she's an artist and she's got such a big heart. And my mom and dad went through so much, especially my mom, you know, so we carry a lot of her pain. And for me to, my sister wrote me a letter to say how things would play out if I died, you know, like for my godchildren, for her, for my mom, for my dad. And after I read that letter, I said, this ain't about you no more, homie. You know, this ain't about
That's
you.
Right.
This is about all the people that you can help. And most importantly, about your family, about your godchildren. My goddaughter's name is Frankie, you know, after me. And to think that I was in a place where I thought it'd be better for her if I left, you know, is crazy, homie. But that's where those demons and the shit will take over. That's why it's important to process this trauma, you know what I'm saying? And now I'm so grateful to be alive. And I got so much talent. I got so much ideas in my head that I want to share with the world. You know, and when I go into a room full of strangers, homie, there's fucking, you know, performing for 5,000 to 1,000 people, I'm floating. I'm like, I got you. Like, I want your fucking heart, homie. I'm giving you my all right now. And I love you, you know? And when you walk out of there, I want you to feel like I'm your friend, you know? Because that's one thing that God gave me is love for people, you know?
Well, you really, how long ago was your episode?
Whew. It was early last year. So let me see. I went in 2023. It was probably like April or May of 2023.
I mean, you really dove into this and went all in. You really did.
Yeah. So that was the beginning
Good
of
for
it
you.
When
yeah.
I did it, homie. And,
but
you know,
I mean, we're a little over a year right now and you've
and
done
I'm still
all
crying.
This.
Nah.
You're like, going to cry forever,
you still
bro.
Crying.
I want to ask you a couple questions before we wrap this up. Like, I guess it's a two-part question. Do you think you will ever have a conversation with this cousin? And if so, how do you think you'll take it now knowing the way he's behaved and blown it off? Would it be different than it would have been if it was, you know, he just was honest, or are you going to be more defensive about it now?
Fuck, yeah, I don't know, man. What's happened lately is, and I don't know. I mean,
are there any functions you run into?
I offered him the face-to-face, you know, and he bitched out, basically. You know, he ghosted me, didn't respond. And I would even try to make efforts. I'll go to his family's, like, whatever, barbecues, and I'm showing my face to him, you know. I'm like, hey, homie, I'm here, you know, like, and you're not going to say nothing, you know. I'm your first cousin, homie. I fucking apologize at least, but he's too weak to even do that. So you know what? That's it. You know, like, it's one thing. It's like, oh, well, those people need help. Yeah, he needs help. He's, you know, he said he was going to get help. I hope he does get help. But to not apologize when I gave you the opportunity to, fucking weak, homie. You know? And you know, and he's not a small guy and he has a big old money. He's like, okay, he's fucking a bitch, homie.
But the thing too is like, I don't know this. I'm asking because I'm ignorant to this, but like, I feel like that's a behavior that doesn't just stop.
That's my main concern.
Right? So then you're talking about nieces, nephews, grandkids, whatever it is.
Like, but he knows he's a sick person.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
so go do something about it.
If you don't fix it, it doesn't seem like you age out of fucking being a predator.
Yeah, you don't.
You and don't that, just be retire from it. Like, yeah, I'll do that shit anymore. I'll do that shit anymore, man. I'll touch kids anymore.
You're your little placard.
Nah, that's a young man's game. I'm done now, man. I'll stop touching kids.
Nah, yeah. And a therapist told me that they go once they start, they can't stop.
There's no way. Yeah. There's no way. If you're gonna risk life in prison and shit like this, then you can't stop. Yeah. You don't just one day wake up and go, I'm not gonna do that shit.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not into that anymore. Yeah. Nah, you know. I hope he gets help though, man. He is my family, he is my first cousin. But like I said, you know, for me to even people are like, man, that was nice of you to give him those chances. And he knows
it is,
and he knows, and I'll say it on camera. He knows that I texted him, and he know. And if he tries to tell people that I didn't, or try to say no, he never hit me up, that's bullshit.
Well, here's the other thing too, Frankie. Like, there's nobody that would think I'm gonna do this to this kid, and then one day this kid's gonna grow up and have a voice louder than anybody ever, and then can call me out. You get to live with a lie for what, 30 years? Imagine that. And it comes back to get you and you're, how old's he?
Yeah, well, he's probably in his
50s. How much older is he than you?
Yeah, he's in his 50s. Okay. Right? Yeah.
So you think about that, 40 years, 45 years, you get to live with this lie and then all of a sudden.
Well, he's been getting away with it.
Yeah. This fucking guy gets a show.
Oh, shit. Kaboom. Became successful. Yeah.
Kaboom.
Kaboom. Yeah, and you know, and it was also me that having to hold that in for 30 plus years, homie.
How fucking?
Like, that's it, like, you know, to hear my mom say, you know, because my mom accomplished a lot. She used the pain and everything she's been through to as her motivation to be like, everybody told her, you ain't gonna be shit, you know, you fucking da da da. And she hustled. She was a hustler, homie. She worked. And you know, and she's still young, you know, like we're homies. We go to concerts together, we go, you know, like
funk concerts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the homie, man. Yeah. And my dad just isn't there in the background, like, hey, you know, like, you know, shit. But my mom's the firecracker, you know. So so to my mom's like, you know, she said, mijo, you know, we both did the same thing to be able to accomplish as much as you did with the amount of pain that you have to deal with every day is incredible, you know, and it's something that, you know, makes me want to cry right now, but it's like, but that it also was like a part of the motivation. It's like, damn, man, this shit is so dark. It's so heavy. The demons that I deal with every day, but that's what made me like not miss a day of work, fucking be ready to work all day, be ready for another 10-hour day because I'm like, well, you know, I'm trying to fight this, you know? And so it was something that we had, but now we're taking it to a whole different level with doing, you know, the EMDR, the therapy, the fucking, I'm doing everything, homie. You know, I go to groups, I go to, cause I, you know, like you almost died, homie. I was supposed to be dead, you know? And so, and I almost died in a car accident on Highway 1 when I was 17. So I thought about that. I'm just like, man, I have so many brushes with death and I'm still here. So I know God wants me here, homie. Yeah. And so.
And you're making it count.
Yeah,
you're not just coasting along. You're making it fucking count. Yeah. You're making a difference for a lot of people.
And I know that you people, especially people in my community, the black community that hear this, there's going to be at least one person that's going to speak up about what happened to them just from hearing this. You know, and that's a win for us, homie. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Dude, thank you. Thank you for doing this episode. I know. Yeah. I'm very pleasantly surprised and happy that all of the work you've done since the last episode. I'm glad that this did that. I know we laughed about everybody popping off into therapy now, but it's good.
No, it's good.
The next generation and the one after that and your family are going to be safer and
that's
protected.
The whole thing,
like,
man.
That's who we got to look at. And that already happened to us. Got to look out for these people.
Yeah, because it goes in your DNA, homie. Trauma goes in the DNA.
So thank you, dude. Promote whatever you'd like one more time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Just, all the things, man. Go to check out Frankie Quinones, YouTube represent. Check out Cholo Fit, homie. You know what I'm saying? this fall on Hulu. And then look out for my special produced and directed by Ali Wong dropping on Hulu next year. That's what's up.
Thank you, brother.
Nah, thank you, Ryan. I appreciate you.
Of course. As always, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. Come see me on tour. Tickets for all dates are on my website at ryansickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Terms and conditions apply.